So let's stand for a word of prayer.
Our gracious Heavenly Father, we appreciate the fact that you made it possible for us to meet here in freedom and be able to worship, listen to your word. And we thank you for that. We thank you that you revealed to us your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, in such a way that we could be saved. And we pray, Lord, that your Spirit would have his way this morning in our lives, that we would learn more about you, be drawn closer to you, and exhibit those things in our lives that should be there, Father, the fruits of the Spirit. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Our book report this morning is on the book of Galatians, if you want to turn there in your Bible to Galatians. Just a little bit of history. These are your ancestors that I'm talking about this morning. Try to be kind to them, considering the fact that you come from that gene pool. A lot of people are interested in where they came from, where their ancestors came from, and people trace their lineage all the way back to France and that kind of thing. Nothing wrong with that. But I'm going back a lot farther than that. As a matter of fact, I'm going to trace your lineage back 1,500 years before that. Most of us are descendants of the Gauls. And the Gauls, at the time that this letter was written, inhabited what's present-day Turkey. Small section of it anyway. And the Gauls came from a group of people called the Celts. And we know the Celts from the Boston Celtics. They got their name from the Irish, who inhabited Ireland. Now, before you're confused, I want you to understand something. The Celts existed before the Gauls did. The Gauls came out of the Celts. The Gauls were actually blonde Orientals. That's why you find redheads in France and you find redheads in Ireland. In any case, the Gauls came out of the Celts and they came across and they sailed into what's present-day France. And that's why you had a name like Charles de Gaulle. Charles de Gaulle. When the Gauls came out of the Celts and the Celts immigrated and then they found their way all the way to, well, sometimes in places in Germany, but in Northern Ireland, in Ireland. Today they say the Celts are the Irish, but really there were people there in Ireland before the Celts came. The Celts aren't really the true Irish, but they took over. It's kind of like the Battle of the Little Bighorn. Who won the battle? The Americans. The Americans won the battle because the Indians won the battle. The Europeans lost the battle. You understand what I'm saying? So anyway, most of us can trace our lineage back to the Gauls. The Gauls received the gospel from the Apostle Paul on his first missionary journey. They were pagans. They worshiped pagan gods. And Paul came there with the gospel. And some of those folks responded to that message of the gospel, of the cross, and received the Lord Jesus Christ and were saved. But a heresy came into that region and the churches in that region. And the heresy was from the Judaizers, because wherever the gospel went, the Judaizers just seemed to gravitate to that place. I think they were receiving direction from their leaders. And they were trying to bring the Christians under Judaism. They declared, it's okay to receive Christ and all that, but you need to go under the Old Testament law and you need to be circumcised and you need to keep the holy days and all that kind of stuff, and the Sabbath and all the rest of that. And put them back into some kind of bondage. So when Paul wrote the letter, he wrote to correct that particular situation. Not to talk bad about your ancestors, but they were some bad hombres. Usually fought each other. Unless somebody else came along and then they banded together and fought them. Big thorn in the side of the Romans. The Romans couldn't control them. Years later, of course, they attacked Russia. Not a bright thing to do, but they had a lot of gall. Churchill said of them, we fought with the French, oftentimes on the same side. So that's the Gauls. Somebody said they're most like the Americans. They put it like this. Caesar himself, here's the quote. The infirmity of the Gauls is that they are fickle in their resolves, fond of change, and not to be trusted. Another describes them as frank, impetuous, impressible, eminently intelligent, fond of show, but extremely inconsistent, the fruit of excessive vanity. Remember that they want to make Paul a god one day, and the next day they want to stone him. So this is the letter that was written to these people, the Gauls. These legalistic Jews had gotten in there and caused a real havoc in the Church of God. And Paul wrote to correct that situation. Let's just read a few verses in chapter 1, beginning at verse 6. And this is really the theme of the whole book of Galatians, the whole purpose. Paul says, "I marvel that you are turning away so soon from him who called you in the grace of Christ to a different gospel, which is not another, but there are some who trouble you and want to pervert the gospel of Christ. But even if we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel to you than what we have preached to you, let him be accursed. As we have said before, so now I say again, if anyone preaches any other gospel to you than what you have received, let him be accursed." That's some very strong language. Let me read that in a different translation. This is the NIV. Just listen to this. Paul says, "I am astonished that you are so quickly deserting the one who called you to live in the grace of Christ and are turning to a different gospel, which is really no gospel at all. Evidently, some people are throwing you into confusion and trying to pervert the gospel of Christ. But even if we or an angel from heaven should preach a gospel other than the one we preach to you, let them be under God's curse. As we have already said, so now I say again, if anybody is preaching to you a gospel other than what you accepted, let them be under God's curse." One final one, and this is a Living Translation, which is just a paraphrase, really. "I am shocked that you are turning away so soon from God, who called you to himself through the loving mercy of Christ. You are following a different way that pretends to be the good news, but is not the good news at all. You are being fooled by those who deliberately twist the truth concerning Christ. Let God's curse fall on anyone, including us, or even an angel from heaven, who preaches a different kind of good news than the one we preach to you. I say again that we have said before, if anyone preaches any other good news than the one you welcomed, let that person be cursed." Strong, strong stuff, you know. In Christianity, sometimes you think it's all love and we're all going to get along and everything's fine. Christianity is something that's so profoundly precious that it needs to be defended. And the Apostle Paul defended Christianity with the Gauls because this was a dangerous precedent to set to try to put people back under the law. Here are some words from the reading of the verses in Galatians 1, 6 through 9. Perverting, deserting, not another, shocked, thrown into confusion, twisting the truth. We are an angel from heaven, Paul said. He said, if it were me and I was presenting to you a different gospel than the one I presented on my first missionary journey, I should be accursed. That's quite a statement. Or an angel from heaven, not one of the fallen angels. Now this is hyperbole, but it's so serious that the gospel be preached in all its purity. We are sinners, and Jesus died for our sin. And when we believe that, we acknowledge the fact that when he was crucified on Calvary, we were in him crucified. Our sins are forgiven. Don't go back under that system of works and legalism. Cursed, or the word anathema, means damnation. Key verse for the book of Galatians is found in chapter 2, verse 16. "Knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by faith of Jesus Christ, even we have believed in Christ Jesus, that we might be justified by the faith in Christ, and not by works of the law. For by the works of the law, no flesh shall be justified." Judaizers would come in and say, well, that's good what you've done, you've received Christ, but now you have to be circumcised, and you have to follow the traditions of the Old Testament, the Passover, and the Sabbath, and all the rest of those things. And we've got quite a body of doctrine that in order to be a Christian, you have to embrace. And that was heresy. I just read that verse 16 of Galatians chapter 2. If you look at that, how many times the name of the Lord Jesus Christ was mentioned? Some people like hearing the testimonials of individuals of renown who profess to know the Lord, who share how Jesus Christ brought them through a difficult situation, blah, blah, blah. I find this a strange phenomenon, and I've just been looking at this recently. There was a lady on Fox News who was a Christian and having Bible studies, and she was interviewed, and quite a lengthy interview they had of her and asking her about her faith and so on and so forth. And I read through that whole thing and the questions that were asked and her responses. There was one thing missing. As I read this particular testimonial, I took note that there was one name not mentioned in the entire article, Jesus Christ. That's strange. You won't find him missing in the letter to the Galatians. You won't find him missing in Corinthians. The name above all names, the name that every knee shall bow, every tongue shall confess, that he's Lord to the glory of God. Missing. So I listened to somebody else's testimony put out there in cyberspace. But again, there was one thing missing. The person talked about prayer, fellowship, all the blessing God bestows on his people. But there's one thing missing. Talk about prayer, fellowship, and all that God's doing for us. But there's one thing missing. Jesus Christ was missing. That's strange. That's a strange thing, isn't it? It's not missing from Galatians. They were getting away from that. They were getting to other things. Ceremonies. People ask, what do I need to do to join your church? What process do I have to go through? What do I have to study? Huh? When Paul was in Galatia, he preached the gospel. We're sinners. God provide us with the Savior. We either receive him or reject him. No ceremony. No some little thing you have to go through. Listen, baptism is taught in the Bible. Baptism is not a part of salvation. Baptism is a result of salvation. Keeping the commandments is not a part of salvation. Keeping the commandments is a result of salvation. How are we saved? We're saved by faith through grace. How do we grow? We grow by faith through grace. We're not saved by faith and grow by works. And I'll tell you something. When you believe that and you embrace that, you're drawn closer to the Lord Jesus Christ. And you keep the commandments because you realize that that sin, what it did to your Savior, it makes you a different person. That's what Galatians is all about. By the works of the flesh, none shall be justified. By the works of the flesh, what you can do, circumcision, baptism, any other ritual or tradition that religion has, can't save you. Belief in the finished work of Christ is what saves us. Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I was crucified with Christ. I'm dead. That's past. That's gone. That took place 2,000 years ago. Positionally, that's what I am as a Christian. Don't have to deal with that issue because the issue was dealt with on Calvary. Wow. Can't ask for better than that. Chapter 4 of Galatians, verses 5 and 6. To redeem those who were under the law that we might receive the adoption as sons. And because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Adopted into the family as full-blown sons with all the benefits, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. Oh, we sin. But when we sin, we should say, Oh, Father. Oh, Father. Not be put under some ritual. People gather, write their sins on paper, and burn their sins. Such foolishness. What foolishness came into the churches of Galatia? What foolishness was introduced that caused those people to leave off living by faith and go under a system of works? Bondage versus spiritual freedom. Paul didn't want those believers in Galatia to lose sight of that. So what happened? This is all we have. How was it taken? How was it received? I don't know. But I know this generation, the one in which we live, the people that are alive today, those who profess to be Christians, the message that was given to those Galatians almost 2,000 years ago, it's as profound today to you, to this generation, as it was to them. What's going to happen after this? I don't know. Don't know the future. But I know this is the truth. Don't compromise with legalism. Don't compromise with an ideology that would have you believe human effort has anything to do with salvation. Chapter 1, if you look at those first five verses, you realize this. The gospel was something treasured by Paul, and it was worth defending. And if you look at those first five verses just quickly while I'm talking, because those are more important than what I have to say, Paul carried some weight. He was an apostle. There are only 12 apostles, you know. One of them was a traitor, and he hanged himself, and he was replaced by Paul, who was chosen by God, like all the apostles, chosen by God. And Paul had that gift of an apostle whereby what he wrote was divinely inspired by God. And Paul, as an authority, was telling the Galatians the way it was. Like all the apostles, he was personally trained by Christ. But Paul, different from the other apostles, was trained after the resurrection. Made an apostle, he says, to deliver them from this present evil age. That was their present evil age. Now we have a present evil age. And we need to be delivered from this present evil age. What's one of the main problems with our present evil age? One of the main problems with our present evil age is people that come in and they want to put us under some kind of bondage. And they want to take away from the purity that's found in the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. They preach some other gospel, some other thing. We need to stand against that, just like the Apostle Paul. You see, some people think we can just lie down and let these things roll over us. That's not true. If you read that little book of Jude, you'll see that. Jude said, listen, I wanted to tell you about all the good stuff, but I can't because of the stuff that's coming in. Verses 6 through 10, Paul would attack those who attack the gospel. He calls it another gospel. In other words, he's saying what you're being taught is not the truth. What you're being taught is not what you were taught in the foundation of your belief. You're being taught another gospel. It's so important that we know the Word of God. It's so important that we read the Word of God. It's so important that we don't just take the advice of somebody who stands behind a pulpit, but we actually read it for ourselves. And we get the meaning of it. Paul says an angel. Pretty hard to resist an angel. I never met an angel, I don't think. Hebrews said we might have. We don't even know. Angels are powerful. I mean, two of them went and destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, like a nuclear explosion. Come up against an angel? Wow. Take a stand against that angel. What if the Apostle Paul had changed his mind? What if the Apostle Paul had some kind of brain tumor or something, and he's getting out of whack, and he comes back with a different message? See, don't believe me then. Believe the gospel. What was preached to you at the first, that was the gospel. So if I, or an angel from heaven, preaches any of the gospel, let him be accursed. That's strong, strong stuff. He says, not as pleasing men. Not as pleasing men. That's a hard thing. I think most of us are people pleasers. We like to get along with people and not rock the boat and go with the flow and that kind of stuff. But when it comes to the gospel, no. The boat needs to be rocked. You can't go with this other gospel. So we all believe in God. God has many different names. Really? And where do you read that from? Some say, there are different ways to heaven. The point is, it gets us to the same place. Where does that come from? Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no man comes unto the Father but by me. That's what Jesus said. That's what we believe. That's what we embraced. Don't change that. Big movement in our world for us to all get together, all the religions to get together, fellowship, put away the doctrine, just fellowship around this generic God. Very uncomfortable with that because the Bible has too much to say about doctrine. Whether it's the virgin birth or vicarious death, his virtuous life, those are doctrines that we should fight for. And you don't lie down for anybody when it comes to those doctrines. That's what Paul was doing. Chapter 2 discusses three things. Chapter 2. He discusses the race that he's in. He discusses the false brethren. And he discusses dealing with Peter, the apostle, which is the true brethren. But first of all, the race, verses 1 and 2. He says, then after 14 years, I went up again to Jerusalem with Barnabas and also took Titus with me. And I went up by revelation and communicated to them the gospel, which I preached among the Gentiles, but privately to those who are of reputation, lest by any means I might run or had run in vain. He said, the message of the gospel, I went up there to Jerusalem, we met together as a church there, we discussed this, what I am preaching, what Peter's preaching, what the other apostles are preaching, we're all on the same page. We're not preaching different gospels to different people in different places. He says, this is how I run. I run by the rules. I run with a purpose. That's a good way to run. It's good to run, follow the rules. It's good to run, have a purpose. I'm glad Paul did. I'm glad Paul fought a good fight, finished the course, and kept the faith. Came close sometimes. Yeah. Not easy. But I'm glad he ran. After that, down through the years, down through the centuries, a lot of people ran. Ran with the truth. Maintained the truth. Died like that. Old Mr. Robbins, well into his 80s, I think, he's going to get his jacket out of the closet to go preach somewhere. He didn't make it to the closet. Lived well, served well, died well. I agree. That's the Apostle Paul. So he ran a race, according to verse 2. Secondly, he took on the false brethren. Verse 4. And this occurred because of false brethren secretly brought in, who came in by stealth to spy out our liberty, which we have in Christ Jesus, that they might bring us into bondage. How do they come in? Secretly. They don't come in pre-mask days. They didn't come in with a mask on that shows a bunch of teeth and looks really bad. That would be easy to spot. They don't come in with horns sticking out of their head, because that'd be easy to spot. They don't come in with a pitchfork, that'd be easy to spot. They come in secretly. And they secretly desire to put you under some spell. They have some secret thing that you don't have. I mean, look what the Bible says about circumcision. And look what happened when these folks, this nation that God chose, weren't circumcised. Look at some of the things that happened. And look what happened when they broke the Sabbath. Don't you think you should be under the Sabbath? Don't you think you should be circumcised? I mean, this is what the Word of God says. Well, yeah, I guess it is. It's what it says. If those verses referring to Israel are the only verses that you know, and you believe that what God has given to Israel is for you as a Christian, you're in trouble. If you can't rightly divide the Word of God, whether God's talking to the Jew, or God is talking to the Gentile, or God is talking to the church of God, you're in trouble. Because they can twist verses that can wrap your mind around heresy. You best know what the Word of God says. Because look at that. Look how they come in. How do they come in? Stealthily, secretly, furtively. We have a bomber in the United States. It's called the stealth bomber. Why they call it a stealth bomber? Because those who are being bombed will never hear it coming. They'll never see it coming. They'll never be on radar. And all of a sudden, that's stealth. Protect the gospel. Hold the gospel truth closely. You're saved by the gospel. You live by the gospel. Die by the gospel. Don't get caught up in some man-made religion, system of things. So in chapter 1, you have that. You have the race, and then you have the false brethren. And then you have the true brethren, beginning at verse 11, when Paul had to deal with Peter. Now when Peter had come to Antioch, I withstood him to the face because he was to be blamed. For before certain men came from James, he would eat with the Gentiles. But when they came, he withdrew and separated himself, fearing those who were of the circumcision. And the rest of the Jews also played the hypocrite with him, so that even Barnabas was carried away with their hypocrisy. Wait a second. Paul takes on Peter. Big stuff here. This big thing. This is the starting lineup here. These are the top five. Actually, the top three. But Paul has to take him on. Why? Because he's being a hypocrite. He was teaching one thing, but practicing or showing another. Gentiles were unclean. You couldn't be caught eating with Gentiles. Paul had to deal with it. So you're being a hypocrite. You're practicing something that's not true. 2,000 years. We're still dealing with it. We're still dealing with it. We still play the hypocrite. We still need to be confronted. Because sometimes we'd like to just show people it's a little different. Barnabas could get carried away with it. Barnabas, son of consolation, fellow missionary, Apostle Paul. Pressure, you know. So this happened. Peter wouldn't eat with the Gentiles. Barnabas saw that. Barnabas got pulled into that. Don't get pulled into stuff that's going to take you away from the gospel. Don't get pulled into stuff that's going to take you away from your calling. Don't get pulled into stuff that's going to destroy the church. Don't get pulled into that stuff. Whatever stuff that is, don't get pulled into it. Remember how you started. Finish that way. What do you think? Chapter 3. It's a book in the Bible. Words divinely inspired by God, given to the Apostle Paul. Verse 1, foolish. You're foolish. How do you react to that when somebody tells you you're foolish? We don't react to that very well. Bewitched. There is a word. Bewitched. Verse 1. How do you react to that when somebody tells you you're bewitched? You ever been bewitched? Na, 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 na. I'm not in control of my body anymore. Somebody else is. I'm bewitched. Foolish. Bewitched. That verse, look at it clearly. This was so clear to you. So clear. Now you're foolish. Now you're bewitched. What happened? So you go to your optometrist and he says, can you see better now or now? Is that better or that better? After a while you want to scream. So you're trying to fool me? What looks better? Clearly. Say, look at this. It's clear. I can see all the numbers and all the letters. It's clear. What line? The bottom line right there. A, F, Y, Z. Yeah. That's clear. It's clear. Then all of a sudden, just an E on top and you can't see it. You think it's a B. It's not clear. Paul's saying it's clear. This is clear. Gospel came to Galatia. You received the gospel. I preach the Lord Jesus Christ, how he died for you and rose again, how you have a new life in him. I preach that gospel. I didn't give you volumes of information on how Christians should live and what they should do. You believe in Christ for salvation, believe in him for service, believe in him for sanctification. Just walk accordingly. It's not rocket science. It's clear. But now it's foggy. What came in to make it foggy? Circumcision. Holy days, Sabbath, all that stuff. Clear this up. Let's take this back out of the picture. Let's pull this out one at a time. Let's get back to the truth. It's faith in Jesus Christ alone. Don't have faith in man. Don't have faith in church. Don't have faith in an organization. Have faith in Jesus Christ. These other things can fall into place, but it's faith in Christ. That's the book of Galatians. Foolish, bewitched, clearly. Verse 24, a tutor. You say, what's this thing about the law? The law is a tutor. What was a tutor? Tutor came and said, Junior, get your clothes on. Your parents hired me to get you to school. Make sure you get an education. Come on. That's a tutor. Tutor's responsible for that. Responsible for the kids. So what's a tutor for? He said, bring you somewhere. Bring you get an education. What's a tutor for in the Bible? Tutors to bring you to Christ. So it says, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not be a false witness, thou shalt honor thy father and mother, blah, 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 blah. Oh, man, I can't do it. I can't keep it all. Okay, it goes even beyond that. You know what I mean? It goes even beyond that. It goes deeper than that. I can't do that. Wait a second. That means it's working. It's going to bring you to the one who can do that. The law can't do that, but Christ can do that. The law is a tutor to bring us to Christ. Can't keep the law. Anything wrong with the law? No. Nothing wrong with the law. Law is good, but can't do it. Christ did it. Christ took all that on himself. Chapter 4. I titled this, Don't Go Back to Crazy. Don't go back to crazy. Beginning at verse 8. But then indeed, when you did not know God, let's go back, Galatians, to when you didn't know God, you serve those which by nature are not God's. But now, after you have known God, or rather are known by God, how is it that you turn again to the weak and beggarly elements to which you desire again to be in bondage? You observe days and months and seasons and years. Paul says, I am afraid of you, lest I have labored for you in vain. So I'm afraid of you people, because you're going back into a religious system. Instead of making a vertical move towards God, You're making a horizontal or a lateral move. You're exchanging your pagan religion for a so-called Christian pagan religion. What's wrong with you people? Don't go back to organized religion, which is in sharp contrast to a living, breathing relationship with the one true God. And it's not hard to fall into a system of things. Don't do that. Don't put that in there. That doesn't belong in there. Keep it pure. Look at that. Holidays, religious ceremonies. Paul said, I'd hate to think I labored in Galatia for nothing. My paraphrase of that is, I hope I didn't start a religion. I wouldn't want to be the father of a religion. And if I'm a father of religion, I wasted my tickets going there, preaching there. It's for nothing. Because I didn't go there to make you religious. I went there to introduce to you a relationship with God through Jesus Christ. Can't lose that. Chapter 5 talks about the fact that we're an heir and that we should stand free in that. Verse 1. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty by which Christ has made us free, and do not be entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Stand fast. Some use the word estranged. It means a state of alienation from a previous close or familial relationship. It says in verse 4, you have become estranged from Christ, you who attempt to be justified by the law. You have fallen from grace. It's kind of like, here are the husband and wife. They've gotten married and they love each other and they're bringing children into the mix and they're going through life. And all of a sudden, maybe somebody else comes along. Husband leaves the wife, wife leaves the husband. See, how's that couple doing? Well, they're estranged. What do you mean they're estranged? Well, they're not together anymore. Yeah, but they were married. They signed a document. Some minister stood up there and mumbled some words and some people signed stuff. What are you talking about? Well, yeah, but they're estranged. It's gone now. It's all gone. Yeah, but what about all those things they said? Doesn't matter. It's gone. Estranged. Well, estranged from Christ. I mean, they lost their salvation? Not necessarily. It just means they don't have a relationship anymore. Relationship's gone. Well, let me stop here for a second. How's your relationship with Christ? No, I'm not saying how many times you go to church during the week. That's all I'm saying. I'm not saying how much you read the Bible, how much do you pray. That's not what I'm saying. I'm just saying, how's your relationship with Christ? That's what happened to the Galatians. Husbands and wives, you know this. We have to work at our relationship. We don't want to become estranged. We don't want to be two people living under the same roof who are no longer close, no longer trusting one another. So what's wrong? Well, something wrong. So figure out what's wrong. Fix it. Move on. Here's the thing. With this relationship we have with Christ, he's never wrong. So it's easier because he's never wrong. If we're estranged, we're wrong. So we know what's wrong. Let's fix it. Let's fix the problem. What was it like at first? What was salvation like at first? Why were we saved at first? What was the interest in the Word of God at first? What was it like at first? And what's it like now? What happened there? What about communication, the way we communicated with God and the way he communicated with us? And what changed with that? Fix it. Just fix it. You're driving home, and all of a sudden, the car starts handling differently. You pull over to see what's going on. You have a flat tire. Well, just get in and keep on driving. She asks, honey, what's wrong? Oh, you got a flat tire. Well, what are you going to do? Well, next week, Tuesday, Wednesday, I'll probably... Yeah, but I have to go to the dentist in Presque Isle. Well, it's all right. You know what I mean? There's still a lot of rubber on there. It'll work. Yeah. Shouldn't you fix it? Well, yeah, but I have to get out and I've got my good clothes on and the kids want to go home. They're hungry and you're asking a lot. Fix it. Something wrong with your relationship with Jesus Christ? Fix it. Say, well, I'll go talk to the minister and have him fix it. He responds by saying, no, I got my own tires. I can't fix it. Big thing, counseling. You come in, sit there in front of a guy, tell him the story, and he'll fix it. Here are three verses. Take two of them and call me in the morning. Can't fix it. You fix it. It's your relationship with Christ. Is a problem. And maybe closer to 1,000 out of 1,000. And the problem is the relationship with Jesus Christ. The problem with couples is not their relationship with each other. It's their relationship with Jesus Christ. That's the problem. They fix that. You're back on the road. Fix it. That's what it says in verse 7. You ran well. Who hindered you from obeying the truth? Those are a couple of good questions there. You ran well. Remember that? You'd run. You ran so well. You were ahead of the pack. You were going. Remember that? What hindered you? She's like, what hindered me from running? I used to run so well. I think these 40 pounds hindered me. I think there was a gallon of ice cream I ate. I think it's all that Coke I drank. I think it's all that beer I drank. What am I going to do? Quit drinking beer and eating ice cream by the gallon? And get back to running. Yeah, get back to running. Lose the weight, get back to running. That's it. You ran well. What stopped you? I think it's this whole Christian thing. I'm miserable. It's not working out. I was expecting more than what I'm getting. And what's the problem? Well, you know, this and that. Yeah, this and that happened. Huh, I guess we have it pegged now. It's this and that, isn't it? It's what came in. So I became a burden. And you know, a lot of that is just none of our business. A lot of that stuff we took on ourselves came out of us, none of our business. Cast all your care upon you. No. Cast all your care upon Him, and He will direct your path. Come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Use a rest. Use a break. It's all on me. Oh. Right. It's all on me. It's funny how we do that, though. Huh? It's all on us. It's not true. So what did it? Verse 9, a little leaven leavens a whole lump. When you're studying the scriptures, don't start studying in the New Testament. Start studying in the Old Testament because you get off. You really will. Leaven, it's a picture of evil. We find that back in the Old Testament. Leaven permeates everything. Don't do that. So what's he talking about? It's not complicated. If you let a little bit of evil in, it doesn't stay like that. Evil grows. It's like a little gossip. Just a little gossip. Gossip tastes good, you know what I mean? But the problem with gossip is it causes you to swell because it gets into your system. It's never just a little because the nature of it, the nature of leaven is to permeate everything. And the nature of sin is to permeate everything. So when you let a little bit of it in, that's all it takes. That's what he says. Didn't make that up. Verse 9. Serve others. Verse 13. For you, brethren, have been called to liberty. Only do not use liberty as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. Just thinking about that. And just from being on the planet for 68 years, here's what happens. We get at each other. We just get at each other. We pick fights. What was going on in Galatia? Well, you can imagine. Because some were saying, you need to be circumcised. And some were saying, oh, not for me. Oh, yeah, but you're not spiritual. I was. Therefore, I'm spiritual. Well, I'm out of here. I'm going to go start my own work over here. It's going to be different from your belief system. Where does that stuff end? Where does it end? We don't all agree on that. Where does it end? People make a big thing over holy days. You want to make a big thing over holy days? Make a big thing over them. Go for it. I don't. Make a big thing over them. It's another day. Another day. 365 of them. They're all the same. Year after year. We're not under that system. You get to fight over that. I was in Bible school. We fight all the time. Yeah. Guys in the trailer car. You know, walk down school together. First, it's great. Bunch of guys together. Next thing you know, something between us, some goofy thing came up and wouldn't fellowship with them anymore. It's over. What do you do that for? That's new. No, it's not new. It's in Galatians. And this is what he says. He says, for you, brethren, have been called to liberty. Only do not use liberty as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. That's what it says. I think it's hard to do. But that's what it says. And I think that's true. I think we need to face that. Especially if you came out of the Celts through the Gauls and you have too much gall. Didn't know we were all related, huh? Answers a lot of questions. Chapter 6. Brethren, if a man is overtaken in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of meekness, gentleness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. Bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. putting the load of responsibility on those Christians who were in Galatia. They were spiritual. In other words, they understood this. They understood what was going on. They saw that clearly. And they understood the solution to it. It was a spiritual problem, and it needed a spiritual solution. So the responsibility was now theirs. Now, it's like this. I know what's going on here, and this is a bad situation, but how am I going to tackle a problem? Because I don't have any idea how to do this. Well, here's what I do. So the washing machine goes, clunk, 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 clunk. Well, you can't call a guy to repair it anymore. It almost costs more to repair it than it does to replace it. You might as well throw it out and get another one. But now we have this thing called YouTube. And YouTube's like for idiots. You unscrew this, unplug the machine first, of course. Yeah, okay. That's important because sparks will fly. And this is how it comes apart. You get the part number, go on Amazon, order it. Then when the part comes in, you replace the damaged machine part with what you ordered. I've actually done that. I did that. Go back to this, see? How am I going to help out in this situation? Well, you go to the one that knows. Who knows? Jesus knows. You fall on your knees. Lord, I'm not just part of the solution, Lord. I'm part of the problem. And I don't have a clue. I'm a mess. Just pour that out there. Get up off your knees and go. What's going to happen? I don't know how it's going to happen. But I just have to go. What do I have to do? I still have to read. Pray, practice, fellowship, forgive, worship. That's not part of my salvation. As Romans 12:1 puts it, it's a reasonable expectation. Quite a thing, isn't it? You who are spiritual. Now, if you're not spiritual, stay out of this. If you're not spiritual, we've got enough problems. We don't need you. We just don't need you. That's 2,000 years ago. I don't know how that turned out. Usually it doesn't turn out well. But sometimes it does. Because sometimes there are people that are spiritual enough that they make a difference. How many Christians have made a difference? You could be one of them. That's the book report on Galatians. Love that book. Let's pray. Father, teaching is one thing, living it's another. We know that. Listening to it's one thing, living it's another. We're here today learning these ancient lessons. Help us to apply them and honor the Lord Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name we ask these things. Amen.